Thank you for standing by, and welcome to the Arvida Market Update Conference Call. All participants are in a listen-only mode. There will be a presentation followed by a question-and-answer session. If you wish to ask a question, you will need to press the star key followed by the number one on your telephone keypad. I would now like to hand the conference over to Mr. Bill McDonald, CEO. Please go ahead.
Good morning, everybody. Welcome to our call, and thanks for joining us for the market update for FY 2018. Our highlights for the year were firstly our underlying profit of 33 million dollars, which was up 43% on last year. This was delivered through a net profit after tax of 58 million, which was 7% up on FY 2017. Our high care occupancy, which has been a hallmark of our group, finished the year at 96%. We're very pleased with that. We also had an exceptional net promoter score through our resident survey this year. We also sold 295 occupational right agreements, which was considerably up on last year, up 49%. Importantly, we delivered 97 new units over the period, of which 79 were settled at a development margin of 19%. Strong development activity occurred throughout the year across eight of our brownfield sites, and we also have a new greenfield site, of course, which is in Richmond. We now have a future development pipeline of over 1,100 new units. The final dividend lifted to 0.0156 per share, bringing the FY 2018 net dividend to just a little bit over 0.05 per share. It included a special dividend of 0.0026, which Jeremy can talk about a little later in the presentation. We also acquired three new villages during the year, Maryhill, Havelock North, Strathallan in Timaru, and our 50% of the joint venture of Village at the Park in Wellington. Three really high-quality villages that have integrated particularly well into the group. We're very pleased to have them on board. We now have assets of a bit over 1.1 billion dollars, which is a real lift on last year, with gearing at around 20%. Strong care demand was a real hallmark, as I mentioned earlier, sitting now at about 96%. We also have a strong positive outlook going forward based on our exceptional net promoter score results, and we're looking forward to the year that we are now in. As you can see on slide three, the strong trends here continue year-on-year from a profit, cash flow, and an asset perspective, which Jeremy will elaborate on a bit later in the pack. If we move to slide five, our stated strategy, which incorporates the Attitude of Living Well model of care, is now genuinely transforming the aging experience by really underpinning the care delivery that we're offering. It's genuinely underpinned by our model, which includes moving, thinking, eating, resting, and engaging well. Engaging well being our new plank to our strategy. We're really confident that what we're doing here is working well. I'll talk a bit more about this in a moment, but I think our net promoter score results really underpin this. On slide six, if we have a look at that snapshot of Arvida now, we've had a very strong growth in our balance sheet since we listed, over 250% growth. We've got around 4,000 residents now across 29 villages across the country. If you include Richmond, our new greenfield site, that will bring us up to 30 villages. We still have our high needs-based portfolio breakup, and we've got a considerable amount of brownfield development progressing at the moment, as I mentioned, across our eight villages. The composition of our villages now sits at 743 aged care beds, 1,850 retirement units, and making a total of 3,593 beds and units. We still retain that defensive needs-based composition sitting at about 68%. As I mentioned, we are very pleased with the way in which our care operation is going, with the 96% occupancy rate as it stands, an average of 95 across the group. We also had some excellent Ministry of Health certification audits across the period, with 12 of our facilities now achieving that gold standard of 4-year certification. Importantly, we also had 83% of the certification audits carried out this year achieved that 4-year certification period, which is really goes to underpin the value of what we think we're doing in the group. The numbers of care beds, as I mentioned, has now increased around 300 for the year. And our net promoter score in our care facilities increased from 42 as a positive last year to a positive 51 this year. That is a particularly high result, anyone who understands net promoter scores. If we move on to slide 9, in our operational highlights, we introduced a video-based employee training package during the year. It's been an excellent tool for our villages, and over the first 6 months of rollout, we've completed over 10,000 training sessions, which is a terrific utilisation of that resource. We've also began rolling out our leadership program for our care teams across the group, which supports the Attitude of Living Well model, which creates substantial steps towards empowering our care teams. We also carried out 7 Safe Plus health and safety audits across the group. Returned a really great result and demonstrated to us that health and safety is at the core of our culture within our villages. We also rolled out resident management system across the group. We now have our system in 23 of our villages, which we're very pleased with, and that's going to go a long way to underpin our increased efficiencies as we go forward. Integration of our new villages, Strathallan, Mary Doyle and Village at the Park, have gone very well this year, and of course acquisition and integration of assets is something which we now really pride ourselves upon. Our nutrition and healthy food options has been another key rollout across the group this year, and we're very pleased to see how that's gone. We've also rolled out our food control plans across the group this year, which have been verified by an external auditor, and another great step forward for our food and kitchens this year. So I mentioned earlier, development activity has been very strong across the group this year. Very pleasing to announce that we delivered 97 new units across 6 villages this year, of which we settled 79 new units this year, 73 of those being delivered in the latter 6 months of the year. So a very strong effort by both the development team and the sales team. So further to the development team, if we move to slide 12, we have expanded our development team this year, with Arvida now taking on the head contractor functions in-house to complete our multi-level developments, particularly in the regional areas of Bay of Plenty and the Waikato area. This really strengthens Arvida in-house project management and development capacity. We're very pleased to see the team come on board in the last few months. We've also set up an internal construction risk committee, which is going to assist us in de-risking our projects going forward. And we have also have the benefit of having Peter Nevin on that construction risk committee, who's providing a great level of resource to our development team. So the current development program in place, we have planned delivery of 111 new units for this year across 10 villages, as you'll see on slide 13. That really underpins our development capacity we see, and with the in-housing of that head contractor function, we hope to capture that margin and probably more importantly, enable us to have a greater control across our projects. Looking forward in FY19, we are probably looking at around 120 plus units and beds to roll out in that year. So if we move through to the next page, we see some a nice shot there in the top left-hand corner of our new Aria Bay apartments. And next to that is the new entrance at St. Alyssa, which also includes a new cafe in there. We're continuing to roll out new service apartments and care beds in that facility. And below that, we see Village at the Park, the bottom left picture, with great progress happening there on Block E, Village at the Park, with 19 of the 24 apartments already pre-sold. So that's a great effort. And on the bottom right corner is a picture of Coppercrest with the villas continuing to roll out there to strong demand from Tauranga. And across the page, we see some shots of Christchurch there with the work of the incredible Living Well apartments at Park Lane, with stage one almost complete now, and Roads on Kashmir below that, the luxury apartments there that we're rolling out, are fully underway now with stage one and looking to start the sales campaign there very shortly. So very pleased with the way in which development's gone. I'll now hand over to Jeremy to look more closely at the numbers.
Good morning, everybody. We'll start on page 17. So net profit for the year was $58 million, up from $54 million in the prior year, really underpinned by the care business revenue. So of the $110 million of care and village service fees, $93 million of that comes from our care facilities. This year, the change in fair value of our retirement village assets was up $42 million. Probably three quarters of that came from villages where we delivered new stock to the market. So very, very strong results from the delivery of new stock. We also had, for the first time, the joint venture results coming through. So $5.1 million for the our share of the profit for the 6 months that we owned 50% of Village at the Park. And again, the bulk of that is related to the increase in fair value of the retirement village assets there. One of the things, every 2 years we do revalue all our care facilities. So this year we saw a $10 million increase in the land and building components of our care facilities. Again, three quarters of that was through land appreciation. What that does do is it puts a little bit of pressure on goodwill impairment testing. So in two of our 21 care facilities that have goodwill attached to them, the headroom was reduced, so there was an impairment coming through the P&L of $1.2 million in relation to those two facilities. In terms of sales on page 18, 216 resales through the year compared to 166 last year. The resale gain up to $13.3 million and an overall resale margin of 20%. So very good results there. When you're looking at those numbers, just remember that the value number includes 100% of the sales at Village at the Park, but the resale gain number just includes 50% of those gains. So in terms of the underlying profit for the year, $33 million, up from $23 million in the prior period. Most pleasingly of all is the cents per share, increase of 16% on the prior year. So the key drivers of what's pushing that underlying profit up, obviously the acquisitions have performed very well this year. So 6 months of results for the acquisitions delivered $5.6 million worth of underlying profit. And as we've already talked about, those sales of ORAs, both resales and new sales, up considerably on last year, also driving that increase in underlying profit. Skipping forward to page 20, we now have total assets in excess of $1.1 billion. We've done something different this year in terms of the valuation of our properties and introduced a second valuer to our valuation panel. So previously we just solely used CBRE as most other operators in the market do, but we decided to introduce a new valuer this year, which was Jones Lang LaSalle. We gave them 7 sites to value across the country. We've provided some details of the assumptions as compared between CBRE and Jones Lang LaSalle in the appendix. Good to have a different set of eyes across some of our villages, and overall outcomes relatively similar, with no major differences noted between the two valuers. In terms of our embedded value, we're up to $222 million. Of that $222, $47 million relates to the villages that we acquired during the year, and that's measured at the end of March. So of the $69 million increase, $47 is new villages, and the balance of $22 is an increase in the embedded value, obviously after the allowance for the gains realised during the period, as well as the DMS realised during the period. In terms of our capital structure, gearing's at 19% and our net implied value per share up from $1.17 to $1.28. Of our debt, we've got $119 million of net debt. $56 million relates to work in progress, and we've also got development land of around $34 million. We are in the process of negotiating extensions of the bank facility. Currently, we've got $150 million worth of debt, and we're just looking to extend the limit and also refresh the tenure. On page 23, in terms of cash flows, good lift in operating cash flow, really driven from the delivery of new stock and the cash flows associated with it. We've provided a little bit of detail on some of the capex through our investing activities, with a lot of money being spent on development projects, with also some on upgrades and refurbishments of existing facilities. On page 24, in terms of dividend, as Bill talked about earlier on, we have declared a dividend of 1.56 cents per share, made up of a regular dividend of 1.3 cents per share and a special dividend of 0.26 cents per share. Now, the purpose of doing the special dividend was to increase the dividend payout ratio to the bottom of our policy. So our policy is to pay out between 60 and 80% of underlying profit. So that special dividend increases the payout ratio to 60%. We have commented in that page that the regular dividend of 1.3 cents per share is sustainable for FY19, subject to some of the risks that we see at the moment. There's currently the pay equity funding deficit. We're seeing progress with nurses' wages at the moment, and we're also seeing quite a tightening in that labour market, really from the new government's immigration policies. In terms of the property market, again, house price growth is slowing, but we're not seeing any impacts on our sales activity. And the construction market is still particularly tight, especially in Auckland. So that's the conclusion of the presentation. We'll just hand back to the operator for question time.
Thank you. If you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. If you wish to cancel your request, please press star 2. If you are on a speakerphone, please pick up the handset to ask your question. Your first question comes from Andrew Steele from First NZ Capital. Please go ahead.
Good morning, guys. I guess just to start with, on the pay equity funding deficit and the other comments you've made around the tightness in the labour market, I was wondering if you could provide some sort of quantification as to your, I guess, expected uplift or expected impact on employee costs for FY19 versus FY18.
So there's inbuilt increases for caregivers, which will come into effect on the 1st of July. So if you took an average of the 4 different pay rates that caregivers get, it works out to be a 4% increase overall. Currently we pay, you know, in the last 12 months, we've paid $75 million worth of wages of our workforce of around 2,300 people. Nearly half of them are caregivers, so a significant proportion of our wage bill is going to caregivers, and they'll be receiving a 4% increase. What we will be looking for with interest over the next month is some clarity from the Ministry of Health and DHB on funding levels for 1 July onwards. Obviously, at the moment, there's inbuilt increases for caregivers, but we are still waiting to see the results of their funding review to come into effect from 1 July.
Okay, great. Thank you. And just regarding the change in head office cost, I guess it's another period where we've seen that cost uplift. I guess at what point do you see your head office as being scalable or sufficiently scalable that you can handle growth in the development pipeline or incremental acquired villages without having to scale up this function? I mean, how far away are we away from that point?
Yeah, so with the acquisitions of the 3 villages this year, we have taken the opportunity. The Hearst Group employed an excellent clinical person, so we've brought them as a national quality manager into the group. And she's been a great resource already. We've also introduced some additional accounting and admin resource. Over the year, we also have moved some people from villages into the head office function. So there will be, you know, there is always going to be an incremental change as the group gets larger.
Okay, I guess to put it another way, would you say that with the capability that you now have in place in terms of your development team, you won't need to scale that up further as you progress through your development pipeline?
No.
Okay, great. And just to clarify on some of your comments on the housing market, I mean, you said there's nothing you've really seen to date. I mean, is that across, I guess, pricing for new assets, pricing for resales, and any sort of days to settlement? It's all been pretty consistent.
That's correct. So it's all been pretty consistent. Available stock is at 2% of our total portfolio, so we're not seeing any increase in stock levels. Everything that we, you know, there's a number of villages. We just had a sales conference a few weeks ago, and a few of the villages, sort of sales managers, complaining that they've got no stock to sell. So we are seeing some really great results from our sales teams, and the sell down of 70 odd units in the second half, when those stock were delivered in the second half, was an excellent result as well.
Great. That's all from me. Thank you, guys.
Thank you. Your next question comes from Jeremy Simpson from Forsyth Barr. Please go ahead.
Hi, good morning, guys. Just a couple from me. You touched on it a bit there with the, that you're seeing sort of pretty strong or solid sort of housing market impact still. But any sort of themes that, the resales pricing was significantly stronger, so any sort of themes driving that at all?
We undertake an annual pricing review. And generally what we've found with villages that we've acquired, there's room to move pricing. We believe that we've got a very fair ORA contract, which has got some beneficial terms for residents, and that enables us to charge a higher price than a single operator would have. So I think some of that benefit comes through in the first couple of years after acquisition. And apart from that, having a regional weighting over the last couple of years has been beneficial. We're seeing really strong house price appreciation in some areas. Havelock North with Mary Doyle is a good example. That area is up 16% in the last 12 months. So having that regional diversification has been beneficial.
Great. And just in terms of the debt, so that lifted quite a bit this year. What sort of gearing, do you have sort of like a maximum target gearing that you're sort of comfortable with?
Look, we'd be comfortable pushing that up towards 30%. Over 35% would be uncomfortable. 30% would be comfortable. So that kind of gives you a bit of a range.
Cool. And just lastly, just on the pre-selling, you touched on it a bit in the prezo, but which sites are you actually pre-selling at the moment? Can you confirm that again?
Okay. Yep. So at the moment, we've got sales programs in place for Aria Bay and Park Lane. Those two sites will be ready for occupation. Aria Bay, I think the first resident moves in on the 31st, so that might be this week. And Park Lane, the first resident, will move in a couple of months. So those ones have got significant sales activity underway. Village at the Park, although the units aren't being delivered until early FY20, they've had very, very strong pre-sales already. I think that's sort of three quarters sold down already. So those are the key ones we're focused on. Oh, and Coppercrest, stage 7 of the villas there. We're delivering 30 over the next 12 months. Of those, I believe 8 have been pre-sold.
Great. Thanks, guys, and well done. Good result.
Yes.
Thank you.
Thank you. Once again, if you wish to ask a question, please press star 1 on your telephone and wait for your name to be announced. Thank you. There are no further questions at this time. That does conclude our conference for today. Thank you for participating. You may now disconnect.